Haideți cu toții să deschidem Sfânta Scriptură pentru mesajul în limba engleză astăzi la Geneza, capitolul 4. Voi citi versetele 3, 4, 5, 6 și 12. So for the English sermon tonight, please open your Bibles at Genesis 4, verses 3, 4, 5, 6 and 12. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen?" And verse 12, "When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield to strain you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on earth." Amen. Tonight, brothers and sisters, we're going to continue the message that we started a few weeks ago. Sin, a treatable cancer. Păcatul, un cancer tratabil. And if you remember last time we were talking about sin and how important it is to understand that every time you are in front of a sin, you are in front of a decision that you make for your life. You decide. You decide the life or you decide the death. You decide the victory or you decide the defeat. You decide to be with God or you decide to be with the devil. You decide the blessing or you decide the curse that will come upon your life. And last time we were talking about the curse that comes upon three categories of people. A curse that comes upon people that are not bringing their offerings, people that are cheap, stingy. They just like to receive things from God, but they don't like to give anything back. Then we were talking about a curse that comes upon people that are being indifferent. Those are the people that are just too comfortable in their lifestyles, too comfortable in their doctrines, too comfortable in their ideologies, too comfortable in their beliefs, too comfortable on the benches of their churches, forgetting the ultimate goal that we all have, which is bringing people to Christ. And then we were talking about a curse that comes upon people that are basing their lives on the works of laws. People that think that if they do one little good thing, it's enough. People that go before Easter to a priest confessing their sins, thinking that a priest can take their sins away. People that are using certain verses and certain passages from the Bible just to cover their misery, their awful lifestyles and their sins. And tonight, looking at this passage, brothers and sisters, we see here a dysfunctional family, just like so many others in 2015. Adam, Eve, Cain and Abel. And now it's time for a change of generations. It's time for Cain and Abel to come before God with an offering, with a sacrifice, with a test. And I'm pretty sure they knew about their past. They knew how God created their father, Adam, and then from his rib, God created Eve. They knew how God gave Adam the opportunity to name all the animals. They knew how they were so happy in that corner of heaven on earth, which was Eden Garden, until one day when they committed a sin. And ever since then, they were kicked out from Eden Garden. And now it's time for them to come before God with a test, with an offering. You see, Abel, he's the shepherd, a reflection of the good shepherd, which later on was Jesus Christ. He's the type of guy that takes time in his prayer. He takes time in his devotion. He takes time in his relationship with God. He doesn't just show up Sunday at church expecting the heaven to fall down on him. But his whole week, every day is a preparation for what's about to come Sunday, for what's about to come in that day of sacrifice. While Cain, he's the farmer boy. He's the man that is too busy, probably leaving home at 7 o'clock in the morning and coming back at 7 in the night. He's too busy with his business. He's too busy with his job. He's too busy with his things of this world. And he doesn't have time for God. He doesn't have time for prayer. He doesn't have time for devotion. And if he has to come up with a sacrifice, I don't know, he's probably going to do something really quick there in a rush. But my question for you and for myself tonight is, how is your offering? How is my offering looking like? Is it more like Cain's offering or is it more like Abel's offering? Is it just a bumper sticker with a verse from the Bible or something that I'm posting on a social media site so people can see my religion? Is it just a good deed that I'm doing every once in a while so I kind of have a good feeling about myself? Is it just something that you do in the church every now and then so people see, the pastor see that, hey, I'm still here, I'm still active? Or it's more like Abel's sacrifice, where you don't care what people say about you, where you don't care what people think about you, because you know what you get fed with every day. You know what you're drinking every day. You know what you're absorbing every day is God and His Word, and no one will ever be able to take that away from you.
E o vorbă în România care spune, zice, spune cu cine te împrietenești ca să spun cine ești. Tell me who your friends are and I'll tell you who you are. But my question for you tonight is, tell me what you're planting and I'll tell you what you'll harvest. Because if you plant hate, you'll get a war. If you plant anger, you'll get a split. If you plant lies, you'll get a curse. But if you plant peace, you'll get understanding. If you plant patience, you'll get indulgence. If you plant goodwill, you'll get love. Tell me what you're planting, and I'll tell you what you'll harvest. A lot of times when we're thinking about offerings, we're suddenly jumping in Jeremiah 17, thinking about bringing people to Christ. And that's important too. Because the way I said previous times, I can come to the church and I can really feel the Holy Spirit, the anointment of the Holy Spirit here. But with half of my heart, I'll be happy. And with the other half, I'll be sad when I still see that there's still spaces here for people to come to church, for people to come to Christ, for people to be saved. Tell me what you're planting and I'll tell you what you'll harvest. You see, in Luke 7, there's a story with the Roman centurion. And the Bible said that this guy had a slave, a servant. And that servant got sick. You know, I mean, he was just a slave. He was just a servant. He could have just replaced him, just get another one. If you work for a company and you get sick for a long period of time, they might lay you off. If they're going to hire someone that makes less money than you, but he knows how to do your position, they might take your position away and give it to that someone else. You know why? Because for this society, you and me, we are just numbers. But for Jesus Christ, we are a soul that He gave His life for. And this man wasn't just a slave. For this Roman centurion, this guy wasn't just a slave. He wasn't just a servant. He wasn't just a number. He was a brother. He was a son. He was a father. He was someone that he cared for. He was someone that he loved. He felt his pain. He felt his problem. He felt his sickness. And he hears about Jesus. And he's sending some people to Jesus. And there's two things that impress me about this guy. First of all, what the Jews are saying about him. Învățătorule, caută de-i fă bine omului acestuia, că ne-a ajutat să zidim sinagoga, iubește neamul nostru. In other words, Master, help this guy out because he loves our nation. He helped us build a church. This guy was a Roman centurion. Those were Jews. Those were people that were hating each other. It's almost like you'd see someone from ISIS or a terrorist today and you'd give him food and a place to stay in your house overnight. Someone that is ready tomorrow to kill your children. How is that possible? That can only be possible through the love of Jesus Christ. And the second thing that impressed me about this man was his message. Master, you know what? I'm not even worthy for you to come into my house. But just say one word. Say one word and I truly believe that my servant will be healed. Because when I say one word to my servants, we do. They do. And Jesus says, I haven't seen such a faith in the whole Israel. And the man was healed. Because my dear brothers and sisters, when you plant faithfulness, when you plant interest, when you plant love, you will get God's amazing miracles and blessings in your life. Tell me what you're planting and I'll tell you what you'll harvest. You see, we're talking about sin bringing a curse upon people. But sin doesn't just bring a curse upon people. Second of all, sin can make you become a fugitive, says here in verse 12. And I can only think of Jonah right now. God says, Jonah, go to Nineveh. No, I'll go to Tarshish. Like, Jonah, go to the north. No, I'll go to the south. Go to the east. No, I'll go to the west. Go to point A. No, I'll go to point Z. Jonah, go to Nineveh. What do you mean, God, go to Nineveh? I mean, I understand you are the God that created this whole universe. You created me, but you know what? You gave me a brain. I have a head that I'm carrying upon my shoulders. I know what's best for me. I live in this flesh. And if you live in this flesh and if you know what's best for you, then why would you come to church Sunday night when you can go to the beach? Why would you pray when you can watch TV?
Why would you fast when you have plenty of restaurants where you can just dump food in your stomach? In Luke 12, there's a man. He's kind of talking to himself. Faro fel de monologo interior. And he says, you know what? I'm just gonna break all my bars, and I'm just gonna build more, and I'm just gonna tell my soul, just satisfy, just please yourself. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what's gonna be next. Don't worry about any God. No, you live for the day, you live for the moment. And God says, fool man, where you are. Tonight your soul will be taken. And what's gonna happen to all your assets? Who's gonna own all your properties?
Elijah, after a glorious moment on Carmel, he wants to die.
God, Father, take my life. I'm not better than my parents. Some sort of a cap stage where you feel unworthy, undesirable, you feel weak.
Because sin makes you become a fugitive. Sin made Adam, Eve, and Cain become a fugitive. And you, when you are a fugitive, you are such an easy prey in the hands of the devil. When you sin, you can't smile. When you sin, you can't be happy. When you sin, you cannot come to church. And if you will come to the church, you won't stay too long.
When you sin, you can't see your pastor as well. When you sin, you can't see your fellow brothers and sisters as well. You know why? Because you're not real. Because you're fake, or I'm fake. When I sin, I run away from God. I run away from responsibilities. I run away from people that love me, people that care about me, because I'm guilty.
I remember when I was about 7 years old, I would go to school every day about walking about a half an hour. And every time I would come back home, I would go through stop through a market. And I remember this one time I saw this lady selling some apples. And I really, really craved some apples, but I didn't have any money with me. And, you know, I could have just asked very nicely this lady, you know, can I have an apple? I don't have any money with me. I was a little boy. But no, I decided to do something different. I was just hanging around there. And when she wasn't paying attention, I took an apple and I started running. Why did I run?
Because I felt guilty, because I knew that what I'm doing isn't right. When you run away from God, don't expect to find something better, because you won't. As a matter of fact, David says in Psalm 139, Lord, where am I going to run away from you, and where am I going to hide from your face?
When you run away from God, you run away from His love. You run away from responsibilities, but you also might run away from your last hope. You might break apart from your last slice of salvation, because sin can make you become a fugitive. And third of all, sin can make you become a vagabond, or sin can make you become a monster. That's such a tough word. How can you say that? I want to tell you something. Sin can make someone from a human a non-human, from an angel a demon, from a child of God a child of darkness. Sin, brothers and sisters, made Samson from an Israelite a slave, from a judge a wretch, from such a brave man a prisoner, blind clown in front of the enemy. When you commit a sin, you commit a crime on your body and on your soul as well, because lying, greediness, fornication, evil spirits, all these things will make you a slave of the devil, addicted to a drug, just like Judas Iscariot, addicted to his drug. A person that when he wasn't able to see any solution, any way out, he just decided to take his own life, because that's how sin is. It's a cancer that will take you slowly but surely to metastasis and then to death. Don't play with a sin. Don't play with a fire, because you'll get burned. It will just rob you and let you naked, empty, and miserable. In Matthew 25, we have a moment when there's a master. He has three servants and he leaves. He gives one of them five talents, the second one two, and the last one gets one talent. And he comes back. Well, the first one traded his money and from five made 10. The second one did the same thing, from two made 4. But the last one did something different. This guy had his talent and he was deciding to just hide it in a hole underground. And when the master came, said, you know what, master, I knew you're a very tough person, so I decided to hide your talents. And now take what's yours. But honestly, brothers and sisters, I truly believe that this man, the situation was a little different as well. This man wasn't happy. I mean, think about this. He sees the first one getting 5 talents. The second one gets 2. Now he looks and he probably says, you know what, I hope I'm going to get 5 talents or more. Or if not, I hope I'm going to get at least 2 talents. But no, he's only getting 1. And he's probably thinking, really, master? Really? That's all I'm worthy of, a talent?
And then he sees the other ones making money. Why would I make any money for you? Why would I make you any profit if you only gave me a talent? Yes, I might not be able to tell you in the face what I think about you, but I'm not going to make any profit for you, and I'm just going to send you a message. Jealous. Jealous on his brothers and sisters. Why? Why? Because he sings better. Why? Because he's preaching better. Enjoy. Praise God for what he did with your brothers and with your sisters, for the talent that he put in them, for the gift that he put in them. Everyone's going to be accountable for the gift that God put in themselves. But I'm telling you something very honestly tonight. I'm looking at you tonight. You are beautiful. You are great. You are amazing. Those are not just some words. God put something amazing in you. You are created in God's image. There's a gift that God put in you. But you have to take advantage of it. You have to use it wisely. You have to develop it in the right way. You see, Saul, he started so well with God. At the beginning, he considered himself an unworthy Benjamite. He was so humble. But at the end, he was so full of it. He wasn't happy to just be the king of Israel. No, he wanted to be the high priest too. He wanted to do everything, to be a dictator in Israel. The consequences of Saul's fall were envy, hate, disobedience. All these things misfortune him and made him end up the way he did, dying in such a terrible way, and then have his own body trashed in the enemy's court because sin will make you become a monster. In conclusion, sin, a treatable cancer? Yeah, sin is a cancer. Why? Because it takes you to death. But it's treatable. There's a way out. There's the blood of Jesus Christ that can wash me, that can wash you away, that can give you a new definition, that can give you a new life. You know, the fact that you are here tonight is not just a coincidence. It didn't just happen. You know, no one's better than anyone else. As a matter of fact, God says through Apostle Paul in Romans 3:23 that we all have sinned and fall short from the glory of God. And if I would put those messages that I had together, it all comes down to one simple question. What do you want to be tonight? Do you want to be an Abel or you want to be a Cain? Do you want to be blessed or you want to be cursed? It's very easy. Because if you want to be blessed tonight, let me tell you something. You have to fight for that blessing. Jacob fought the whole night for that blessing. For him, it was something very important, very precious. For Esau, no. He took it for granted. He was ready to sell it for what? For a bowl of soup. Isn't that tragic, brothers and sisters, today? So many people, so many Christians, they are ready to sell their gift. They are ready to sell the blessing that they have in their life. For what? For what? For some alcohol, for a little bit of drugs, for some sex, to sell my eternity with my Lord? Is it really worth it? How tragic that can be. If you want to be blessed, you have to fight for that blessing. God wants people, not just people that are Sunday Christians or are just going to raise their hands up sometimes. He's sick and tired of formal prayers. He's sick and tired of unfulfilled promises. He wants people that are ready to say, Lord, I'm ready to let go of everything for you. I'm ready to endure everything for you. I'm ready to suffer everything for you. And I'm ready to consider all these things of this world trash, garbage, in comparison to what you have to offer me. Of course, you might say, yeah, but it's not me. All these things can happen to someone else, but not to me. It's impossible. You might look at me and you might say, but you don't know my life. You don't know me. And it's true. But what for you might seem impossible, for our Lord, it's so possible. I just want to remind you something tonight. God can make the impossible possible in such an easy way. He made from a persecutor like Paul the greatest disciple. He made from a criminal like Moses the greatest leader. He made from a cheater like Jacob the greatest nation. And he can do amazing things in your life and with you. Of course, the devil wants you to leave this place. He doesn't want you to remember what I'm talking about right now. He doesn't want you to remember what the pastor is going to speak about. He doesn't want you to remember the moment when you felt the Holy Spirit present, or when God tried to take your attention for a minute because you were in the church. No, the devil wants you to leave this place, you know. Leave this place. Go back. Go back to your family. Go back to your job. Go back to your debts. Go back to your problems. Don't worry. It's always going to be another Sunday. It's always going to be another sermon. It's always going to be another day. It's always going to be another chance. It might be, but you might not be there. I might not be there. So if you hear His voice tonight, say yes. Accept Him in your life. I don't know what's the cancer that you're dealing with. Maybe it's something physical. Maybe it's something spiritual. Maybe it's something emotional. Maybe it's something mental. But I truly believe that God wants to touch you tonight. I truly believe that God wants to enter in your heart tonight. He wants to transform you. He wants to change you. He wants to set you free. Wouldn't you want to just dwell in His presence? Wouldn't you want to just be overwhelmed by Him? Being able to say, God, I want to touch you. God, I want to feel you. God, I want to be forever in your presence. God, I never want to let you go. I never want to let you go. Because you're the only one that gives me peace. You're the only one that gives me joy. You're the only one that gives me love, pours His love in my life, and I'm so full of Him. Isn't that beautiful? God, I want to dwell in your presence. I want to be overwhelmed by you, by your joy, by your gifts, by your Son, by all the blessings that you have in store for us. May God bless you. Amen.